Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Emmanuel Acho at 1:30 p.m. from ESPN. He'll join us to talk about his latest work on ESPN. And he had a great video here that's about 9 minutes long. And it's basically asking, it's basically a letter to white people and saying, "Dear white people, for days you've asked me what you can do to help. I finally found an answer. Let your guard down and listen. Let your guard down and listen." And before we kick this conversation around, fellas, and get back to whether or not it's a good thing sports is not happening right now in the world, considering what's going on in the country, in every major city and small cities after the death of George Floyd last Monday. You guys check out this Emmanuel Acho video, and what did you guys take away from it?
I took away from it that we got to listen more to each other, honestly. So much of this, I think, is people just get defensive. They don't like to hear they're wrong. I know I don't. And it's just like human nature to kind of coil up and I don't know if it's lash out or not. But, yeah, that's what the message I got is just like leave your preconceived notions at the door, take a breath, listen. And just be open to what you're hearing is kind of the message boiled down that I got.
And it was so awesome that he did it, the tone that he did it in. And again, I just feel like every black person's been there, and maybe we're not equipped or we feel uncomfortable when we know somebody may be out of pocket. And you want to explain what he did and the way he did it in the soft tone, because Tupac has done that with numerous songs. Many social rappers have done that. And maybe, you know, when they do it with the beat plan, you know, it's a tune out and other minorities may miss the message. But the way this guy put this together, it was awesome. I can't wait to have him on. And just to share a story with you, I went to get dinner last night, takeout, and I got in the caddy, and I put on one of my favorite songs ever, Marvin Gaye, What's Going On? And you would have thought that that song was made, and he just did it a month ago. And, again, I bring that up because words are so powerful, but the way this guy, basically his letter to white people per se, it was phenomenal, and I just can't wait to hear, you know, what prompted it. When did he say, you know what, I'm going to go in the lab and come up with this concept?
Probably had a lot of white friends text him and say, hey, what can I do to help? And he said, you know what, let me use my public platform, my public forum, and here's what you can do. Here's what you can do to just go out and listen. And that, you know what, there have been more people willing to listen, and I think that's a good thing in this country, that more people are willing to listen now to try to rectify the problem. It's just, damn, it's taken this long to finally get people to become aware of what's happening in this country here in 2020 when it's been going on for a long, long, long time. 888-957-9570. We want to hear from the audience out there. Is it a good thing that sports is not going on right now? And I only asked this, fellas, because it dawned on me last night. I was going to bed, and I said to myself, I said, you know what? I'm going to keep it real with myself. And I kind of had what they call a come to Jesus moment or whatnot. You're just like, well, you know, you got to keep it real with yourself. And I'm sitting there in the living room, and I'm saying, you know what? If we were getting ready for the NBA Finals, or if the Giants and the A's were playing, I would be paying this as much attention as I have over the last week. I got to keep it real. Like, even though it was George Floyd was done dirty, his family done dirty by what happened last Monday, just an egregious act. I'm done watching the video. I don't want to see it anymore of a guy, of a police officer having his knee on George Floyd's neck. But I just thought to myself, boy, if sports were going on right now, I wouldn't be as locked into what's going on around the country as I am right now. And it's almost a blessing in disguise that sports isn't going on for a guy like myself to pay attention to these values. I don't know if you guys feel the same way about that, or maybe you guys feel that sports would probably help galvanize some people and galvanize some of the communities by going on out there performing.
You know what? I don't, Stani, real quick, I feel like I wish sports were going on, especially the NBA, because you touched on it, Stani, before the break. When LeBron, it was Eric Garner, I can't breathe. And when they had those shirts on, I know it's just a top, but it was so, to me, fellas, it was so powerful, because you can say us regular folks like us three, stars or famous people, but when guys like LeBron and the Chris Pauls and the Steph Currys are pointing to something that is not good, like this death of George Floyd, it carries more weight. And I'm not saying that's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's just reality. And I think right now, if the Warriors were playing, the game's over, and maybe it's hell getting into the Chase Center because the protesters know, okay, the cameras are going to be at the game. Let's go cause havoc there. But let's say protesters were doing a peaceful protest, and you bring all eyes to Chase Center, and then after the game, it's not about Steph dropping 40. He just touches on what he's feeling, and all the microphones and the press are in his face. I just think those words of wisdom, which I believe he would come out of his mouth, I think they go a long way in healing a lot of people. I could be wrong, but I think, Stani, it could definitely help and ease what's been a brutal situation right now.
Boy, it's hard for me. You know, we always, during better times, kind of laugh about hypotheticals. We have that Harbaugh drop always kind of funny. You know, mm-hmm. I can't look at it like that. And the reason I can is because the reason we don't have sports like right now in our country, we have a racial crisis, we've got an economic crisis, and we've got a health crisis. I mean, all three are huge issues that we've got to deal with. So, like, I almost think, you know, those things all together, maybe minus the racial component because it happened recently, are the reasons that we don't have sports. And again, I have a feeling. I'm starting to feel less optimistic now, even about the NBA, and Major League Baseball, just because there's too much going on. There really is, and I get maybe people need a distraction, and then the other side says, no, we don't need a distraction. We need to focus on this, but I don't know how we can move forward with seasons especially if after all these protests we see the coronavirus numbers rise again. So I'm starting to think that the question of whether sports would help or not right now is kind of moot, because I don't think we're going to have – I just starting to think we're not going to have sports, at least till probably till football.
Yeah. And both of you guys, there's no – how can there be a wrong answer here? I get what you're saying, Guru, and I get what you're saying, Steiny. I'm kind of in the camp of Steiny here where – well, you know what? I don't know. I actually don't know if the protests and what's going on will impact whether or not the NBA comes back this season. You guys know how I felt about the NBA coming back this year. I was less optimistic from day one, but, you know, it seems like they're trying to get back. But I was just thinking to myself, like, man, I'm actually happy that they're not going on right now to make me become more educated, to help myself become more educated on what's going on out there and what's going on in this country. And man, it's been surreal, no doubt about it. But if sports was around, I know myself. I wouldn't be as locked into this situation as I am now. No doubt about it. We talk about baseball and this and that, and wouldn't even know how to articulate what we've been talking about over the last 2 days. So it's kind of, for me personally, just a blessing in disguise. Let's go out to the phone line to get some thoughts from the audience. Let's start off with Frank and Tracy. Frank and Tracy, you're on BSNG. Good afternoon, man.
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? Appreciate the taking my call. Just wanted to touch on the subject, man. Like, I don't get it how these people, I think that All Lives Matter is a cop-out because of the, you know, nobody's saying that. It's just a specific demographic that's being targeted. Like, people don't understand that us with, you know, Black children and Mexican children don't have to, you know, they don't have to fear when our kids go out every day of them being profiled or, you know, brutalized or whatever, just because the police may feel intimidated by them. It's just a hard time that we're living in, man, that these people try to justify the stuff that's going on by decriminalizing what's happening. You know, like they try to say, well, if somebody's being talked to by the police, well, they must have done something. They don't see it through different lenses where they're being profiled. I appreciate you guys, you know, allowing us to vent and share our opinions. All the opinions that we've heard have been great. And I just want to thank you guys for letting us put it out there. Appreciate y'all.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you. And I just want to add this, in regard to the league starting back, you know, I'm just putting it right on the table. I feel like the NBA was coming back and all the NFL, it's about money. And baseball can't get their act together, and it's trying to come back. But at the end of the day, I don't know if that's the point you two were trying to make, but I'll ask you, business has to go on. And I know these protests have an X date. I don't know when that's going to be. I know the curfews are already implemented in a lot of cities around the nation. So to me, that's going to go a long way to kind of putting the fire out. But at the end of the day, these TV contracts, these player contracts, I mean, there's ramifications. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I'm sitting back like, I don't think any of these leagues, unless the COVID-19, you know, those numbers spike. But if they don't, fellas, I think it's going to be all systems go. And I'm not saying players are greedy, but the owners, the bills got to get paid. And that's why, for me, and I'm being selfish, I think that's the underlining, the driving force behind what, like Steiner, you say, we'll get the NFL. Like, that's a done deal to me. I checked that box. Like, nothing's going to stop that train. And I think the NBA as well, that's why it's coming back. And by all accounts, they're still trying to hang on to the regular season because the other small market teams are, you know, don't want to lose money. So it's all about the Benjamins, and that's why I don't think we'll see any of these leagues punt.
I mean, I think all things being equal with the pandemic, whatever that means, and the numbers start to decline, I think you're right. They'll try to push through, but I just don't think there's any guarantee that that's going to be the case. I really don't. Not now, especially.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Going to be real tough. I just don't know. I just don't know. Maybe Carlos in San Bruno does. Carlos, good afternoon. You're on 95.7 The Game. Good afternoon, man. What's on your mind?
Thanks, guys. I just wanted to say, I think it's good that sports are not on right now. You know, we always talk about sports as a distraction for reality. For some reason, I don't know why we need to be distracting ourselves from reality instead of facing it, instead of talking about it and trying to solve problems. We try to be entertained so we don't have to think about those problems. So I think it's a good thing. Now, you know, we're talking and I know if sports was on, we probably wouldn't be having these conversations. So, you know, and then this thing is going around. We all have to do our part. You know, we can't all fix all the problems. We all have to do our part little by little. And, you know, that's what we got to do. Thank you.
Thank you for the phone call, yeah. Carlos. And I kind of feel them. I just kind of feel them. It's just like, boy, how to me, if we were talking, say if we're talking about the Giants and they had a Monday night game, they come back and beat the Padres 7-5. Part of me would just feel sick with what's going on, man. Or heck, would they even have a sporting event going on with all the protests? You think right. about every major city. I mean, hypothetically, would they even have games played yesterday or today? I mean, probably, but they could easily schedule a doubleheader. I'm not even sure they would have hosted a sporting event yesterday, considering what's gone on in this country over the last week.
I think, I think you might be right. I think you might be right. I also think that the fact that we're in a pandemic has added to the crisis, because it's come at a time when a lot of people have been cooped up in their house or cooped up in shelter in place for months, literally months. And, you know, as we're kind of opening up society, this thing happens. And it's just, I think it's exacerbated. I shouldn't say exacerbated, but it's definitely more people, I think, are edgy, are ready to, you know, they're ready to make a change when they see this kind of stuff, because they've been, you know, they're just, you know, they've just felt like they've just been inside for 10 weeks. And want to get out and do something.
Goo.
How far this thing has gone. Oh, no, okay. I'm sorry. I had the mic off. Throw the flag. I mean, they're protesting in Salt Lake City. And I'm not saying there's no black people in Salt Lake City. But those are the things about this protest that kind of make me feel good. They're in the UK protesting, Beverly Hills, Santa Monica.
Right.
I guess what I'm saying is places that
Amsterdam,
you know, aren't predominantly exactly. And to me, that's a heavy part in the good column. Like, I got to tell you, I'm shocked as hell that, you know, these locations are having the protests. So kudos to everybody. So, you know, I guess you asked me, fellas, on Monday, what have I taken away from it? And I kind of didn't even get to that, but I am shocked, and that is a good thing that more people in different locales are taking this subject matter so serious that I'm shocked that, oh, they're marching in Salt Lake City. Who would have thought? In Oregon, Portland, I mean, kudos.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, there's a reason why this is pervasive. It's because any human being with a heart knows what they saw is wrong. And any human being with a heart knows that it just can't go on in a society. It just can't. Period. And that part can go beyond race.
I'm with you there. It's just when you see the events yesterday, and I don't want to get into what I really want to get into, because I know
I'm with you,
people feel about it. It is just a shame. It is just shameful that we're in this spot again, just when you think there's progress being made or a little bit of progress, boom, this happens. George Floyd, boom. What happens in Louisville, Kentucky, where the cops, all of a sudden, they forgot how to activate their body cams,
exactly.
And you kill a guy, and all of a sudden the chief of police is fired, which he should be fired. Or how could you be tone deaf like the chief of police in L.A., where he has to double back on his comments that he made yesterday in the presser? It's just like, how? Like, who are you guys? You know, it's like, what world are you living in? What world are you living in to be that? One, just to have a one-track mind where you're in your lane and you only see that lane. It's just, it's fascinating. It is absolutely fascinating. Hey, I want to do this before I forget, and we're going to play Killer Mike's speech probably this hour, maybe next segment. We'll play a speech from last Friday. I think people really want to hear it, and it was so powerful that we really didn't dive into
it. No paper in front of him, B. No paper. Just off the top of his head.
Off the top of his head. I want to play what Steve Kerr, he had some very, very good thoughts on what happened recently. And Steve Kerr has been very outspoken, head coach of the Golden State Warriors. Maybe we'll do it on the other side. It's 2 minutes and 19 minutes long. But Steve Kerr has been one of the guys who's been really outspoken about this. And he hasn't stopped. But probably what's helped Steve Kerr is what happened to his father. Back in the 80s, where he got killed. And he was fighting for rights, for fighting a good fight. And maybe Steve Kerr, he's the right guy to lead this charge for white people.
I mean, look, his father died because of gun violence. His dad died at the hands of a gun, plain and simple. And, I mean, Bonte, you were like, I don't want to get started, and I'm kind of with you, but I don't care. We got a gun problem in this country, and it's out of control. And you know what? Like, the one thing I'm kind of blown away about is I got some friends who are conservative. There's no doubt, especially a lot of them back east. And even, like, and I'm going to even say it, and even they know the gun situation is out of control. Like, even they aren't, you know, even they know, you know, having an AK-15 is just ridiculous. And that's the thing that, I mean, you want to talk about an issue that you should be able to get 90% of the country behind. It would be, can we have some common sense with guns? Nobody's saying repeal the Second Amendment. Can we have some common sense? Goodness gracious.
That is,
I mean, that's something we should be able to get on the same page about, for crying out loud.
Right.
And I know we don't do politics on this show.
Simon, you're doing a great job.
I'll tell you this. I don't care what sport league does come back or does not. I know what I'll be doing in November, and I will be voting. And I will be voting like it's the Super Bowl or Game 7 or the NBA Finals or World Series. And I'm going to say this. I voted before. But when Obama, I was excited just because I wanted to see a black president. I didn't have an agenda. The only agenda was I wanted to see a black president in office. I don't think it could happen. And that's why I was fixated on the outcome. And could it happen? Could a United States have a black president? But this November, and I'll get off this, this November, I may have my sleeping bag out in front of the polls. You got to mail them in now because we need change. And I'll leave it at that. We need this. We need change ASAP.
Don't be out after curfew, though, if you're going to do
that. Well, I hope we don't have one then. Dude, I missed dinner last night going to get food. I was on MLB The Show, and my wife said, it's going to stop at 8. I said, nah, it'll be. I came back empty-handed. I'm still in the doghouse. No breakfast, nothing. I came home, and we had to have noodles yesterday. Everything was shut down.
You ate Top Ramen last night, huh? Top Ramen night?
A little hot sauce in it. Kids were upset.
What is the sausage you guys both eat? What is it, Long John Silver? Or something? What is it called?
Jimmy D for me.
Jimmy D's.
Yeah, Jimmy D's. I need to remember that.
Deed.
No Jimmy
D's like
this morning.
Deed.
Yeah.
No
all
Jimmy
right.
D this morning.
Here's what's coming up on 95-70 game. Yeah, no, they're not playing. I'm going to admit something to you guys. I cheated the other day and had some Taco Bell. It was the only thing open. It was 7:30. Curfew was at 8. I drove a couple of blocks. I was like, damn, Hamburger Haven's not
Taco
open.
Bell. So damn good.
It was certainly good when you don't have any other options, man. So, even they were closing at 8 o'clock. They locked the doors. They were like, you're the last one.
That's a
like,
problem.
Man, this curfew's real. Yeah, it is real. It is a problem. You better get your food early out there. Curfew is a
how do you feel about Taco Bell?
Streets. Yeah, oh, man. All right, here's what's coming up on 95-70 Game, brought to you by the California Highway Patrol Motorcycle Safety Program. More of your phone calls, 888-957-9570. We'll play some sound from Steve Kerr. We'll have some Killer Mike, his speech, which is about 9 minutes long. And, of course, Emmanuel Acho at 1:30 from ESPN. Check out his Twitter feed right now if you haven't watched this video on how you people can help make change. It is absolutely phenomenal. Emmanuel Acho at 1:30 right here on PSNG, and that's all sponsored by the California Highway Patrol Motorcycle Safety Program. As we all start to get back on the road again, now is the perfect time to think about taking a California Motorcyclist Safety Course. The course allows you to skip the riding skills test at the DMV and is required for riders under 21. Become a better rider. Learn more at CaliforniaMotorcyclist.com.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Emmanuel Acho at 1:30 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. You will not want to miss that interview. Emmanuel Acho doing some great things for ESPN with a great, great video, basically telling people to sit back and listen and start a dialogue. Let's have a conversation about what's going on out there in the world. We'll talk to him at 1:30, and that's going to be very, very fun for us fellas to talk to Emmanuel Acho of ESPN. More phone calls coming up at 888-957-9570. We will get back to sports at some point this week, but it just doesn't feel appropriate. And to be able to do this 2 days in a row feels pretty damn good to talk these issues out, because look, I'm black, but I'm not as educated on these situations as other black people or other white people or other Chinese people. I think, again, without having sports right now, I've been able to sit back and really lock in and see what's going on and read up on issues. And, you know, I knew right from wrong before what happened last Monday. But, boy, when you look at what's going on over the last week, it's just, if we don't make a change now, we're never going to make a change in this country.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so. I mean, the fact that this is happening all over the country should be a message, too. It's not just happening in one place. In fact, it's happening all over the world. So that's another indication that this isn't run-of-the-mill protests going on right now.
Yeah, and this has been therapeutic. I got off the show yesterday, fellas, and I kind of wish we had another hour or two to go, because just talking about it, like, there's no right or wrong, but we do understand what we're seeing is wrong, and we just hope that it'll get fixed. And I'll say this, and I keep saying it, we can go back through history, you know, starting with slavery, the racism, the different riots, and not just black people rioting. I mean, it's throughout our history, and nothing has changed up until this point. It's been like a dirty little secret. But now, and with what we just talked about, where these places are having protests, these different cities to where they're predominantly not black, I guess that could be seen as progress in itself. But at the end of the day, the progress is going to have to come from the top. And I'm talking about the police, policemen. I wouldn't even know a thing about redoing the structure or maybe honing in on how you hire cops and finding out. I know they do all these tests and psychological tests. I got friends that are policemen, but there's got to be a better way to where some of these guys just don't have this hate in their heart to where we saw what we saw with George Floyd and others.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, I want to do this. We all talked about this before the show, and Killer Mike, who's one half of Run the Jewels, from Atlanta, been a rapper for a long, long time, but now he goes out there and speaks his mind as one of the biggest activists we have in the community. Killer Mike, it's about 9 minutes long, and what he said last Friday, 8 minutes and 20 seconds long, what he said last Friday in Atlanta was so damn powerful. I think we should let our listeners, if they have missed it, we're going to play it right now. Here's what Killer Mike had to say last Friday in the speech that he came on top of the dome, and you could hear the pain in his voice. I want you guys to check this out.
I didn't want to come, and I don't want to be here. I'm the son of an Atlanta City police officer. My cousin is an Atlanta City police officer, and my other cousin, East Point police officer. And I got a lot of love and respect for police officers, down to the original 8 police officers in Atlanta that even after becoming police had to dress in a YMCA because white officers didn't want to get dressed with n****s. And here we are 80 years later. I watched a white officer assassinate a black man, and I know that tore your heart out, and I know it's crippling, and I have nothing positive to say in this moment because I don't want to be here, but I'm responsible to be here because it wasn't just Dr. King and people dressed nicely
who marched and protested to progress this city and so many other cities. It was people like my grandmother, people like my aunts and uncles who were members of SCLC and NAACP, and in particular, Reverend James Orange, Mrs. Alice Johnson, and Reverend Love, who we just lost last year. So I'm duty bound to be here to simply say that it is your duty not to burn your own house down for anger with an enemy. It is your duty to fortify your own house so that you may be a house of refuge in times of organization. And now is the time to plot, plan, strategize, organize, and mobilize. It is time to beat up prosecutors you don't like at the voting booth. It is time to hold mayoral offices accountable, chiefs and deputy chiefs. Atlanta is not perfect, but we're a lot better than we ever were, and we're a lot better than cities are. I'm mad as hell. I woke up wanting to see the world burn down yesterday because I'm tired of seeing black men die. He casually put his knee on a human being's neck for 9 minutes as he died like a zebra in the clutch of a lion's jaw. And we watch it like murder porn over and over again. So that's why children are burning to the ground. They don't know what else to do. And it is the responsibility of us to make this better right now. We don't want to see one officer charged. We want to see four officers prosecuted and sentenced. We don't want to see targets burning. We want to see the system that sets up for systemic racism burnt to the ground. And as I sit here in Georgia, home of Stevens, Georgia, former vice president of the Confederacy, white man said that law, fundamental law, stated that whites were naturally the superior race, and the Confederacy was built on a cornerstone. It's called a cornerstone speech. Look it up. The cornerstone speech that blacks would always be subordinate. That officer believed that speech because he killed that man like an animal. In this city, officers have done horrendous things and they have been prosecuted. This city's cut different. In this city, you can find over 50 restaurants owned by black women. I didn't say minority, and I didn't say women of color. So after you burn down your own home, what do you have left but char and ash? CNN, Ted did a great thing. I love CNN, I love Cartoon Network, but I'd like to say to CNN right now, karma's a mother. Stop feeding fear and anger every day. Stop making people feel so fearful. Give them hope. I'm glad they only took down a sign and defaced a building and they're not killing human beings like that policeman did. I'm glad that they only destroyed some brick and mortar and they didn't rip a father from a son. They didn't rip a son from a mother like the policeman did. When a man yells for his mother in duress and pain and she's dead, he is essentially yelling, please, God, don't let it happen to me. And we watch that. So my question for us on the other side of this camera is, after it burns, will we be left with charred, or will we rise like a phoenix out of the ashes that Atlanta has always done? Will we use this as a moment to say that we will not do what other cities have done, and in fact, we will get better than we've been? We got good enough to destroy cash buns. You don't have to worry about going to jail for something petty. We got smart enough to decriminalize marijuana. How smart are we going to be in the next 15 or 20 years to keep us ahead of this curve? So that much like when South Africa suffered apartheid, you had Andy and other politicians that could make sure that Atlanta said, Coca-Cola, we love you. But if you don't pull out of South Africa, we're going to leave. We're not going to drink Coca-Cola anymore. Coca-Cola jumped on their side and apartheid ended. So we have an opportunity now. Because I'm mad, I don't have any good advice. But what I can tell you is that if you sit in your homes tonight, instead of burning your home to the ground, you will have time to properly plot, plan, strategize, and organize and mobilize in an effective way. And two of the most effective ways is first taking your butt to the computer and making sure you fill out your census so that people know who you are and where you are. The next thing is making sure you exercise your political bully power and going to local elections and beating up the politicians that you don't like. You got a prosecutor sent your partner to jail and you know it was bull. Put a new prosecutor in there. Now's your election to do it. You want a different senator that's more progressive that promotes marijuana through? Now is the time to do that. But it is not time to burn down your own home. I love and I respect you. I hate I don't have more to say. I hate I can't fix it in a snap. I hate Atlanta's not perfect for as good as we are. But we have to be better than this moment. We have to be better than burning down our own homes. Because if we lose Atlanta, what else we got? We lose an ability to plot, to plan, to strategize, to organize, and to properly mobilize. I want you to go home. I want you to talk to 10 of your friends. I want you guys to come up with real solutions. I would like for the Atlanta City Police Department to bring back the Community Review Board, one that Alice Johnson was formerly under Chief Turner. We need a review board here ahead of it before an officer does some stupid shit. We need to get ahead of it. That's my recommendation to my mayor and my chief. Let's get a review board. Let's get ahead of it. And let's give them power. We don't need an officer that makes a mistake once, twice, three times, and finally he kills a boy on national TV, and the next thing you know, the country is burning down. We don't need a dumbass president repeating what segregationists said. When you start looting, we start shooting. But the problem is some officers black and some people gonna shoot back. And that's not good for our community either. I love and respect you all. I hope that we find a way out of it because I don't have the answers, but I do know we must plot, we must plan, we must strategize, organize, and mobilize. Thank you for allowing me some time to speak. I'd like to appreciate our chief for what she said on YouTube. I thought it was very bold to do. I'd like to appreciate our mayor for talking to us like a black mama and telling us to take our ass at home. And I'd like to thank my friend for convincing me to come here. And I'll defer to Joe Beasley now because he knows a hell of a lot more than we do. Thank y'all.
That was Killer Mike right there. One half of Run the Jewels. That was last Friday. And that was a speech that put some tears into my eyes because you could feel the pain. You could feel the pain of a black man who knew he didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do. And I felt like him. What part of me was like, yeah, go ahead and protest. Who cares if these buildings burn? But one hand, I know it wasn't right that these buildings burned. A lot of people lost their buildings that didn't deserve to lose their buildings. But I get where he was coming from. If that's what's going to make a difference, if that's what's going to get people to be quote-unquote woke and going to open up their eyes to what's been going on in this country for over 400 years, then so be it. But the pain in his voice, off the top of the head, I thought was one of the most powerful speeches we heard all weekend.
Yeah, that was my word, pain. You could feel it. And for him to be as hurting like a lot of us are and still, you know, have the moxie to know tearing up his city, Atlanta, which is dear to him, that's not the answer. So I appreciated him on that. And that was kind of the mayor passed the baton. He said the mayor was like a black mama, keeping it real and saying what the truth is, even if it's uncomfortable, because she had something to say before he spoke. And that was powerful. And we that will never get old and will be remembered for years to come. And again, I love the protest. We got to just keep our eye on the prize. And at the end of the day, the prize is change. And I just keep saying vote. Don't forget to vote in November because that's on my mind. And we could have all these committees and the Steinies, the Bontes, the Gurus talk all they want, put on social media, black background. I'm not hating on none of that. But at the end of the day, November is when we're going to be able to actually do something that they can start and start healing us and fix what ails us as a nation.
I mean, guys, who could listen to that and not agree with it or not think it's profound or not think that what's going on is very real? I mean, there was nothing in there that was said that should not be respected. I mean, there was nothing that he said that anybody should be afraid of. And when I say anybody, I basically mean white people. I don't get it. But that scares people. And because a lot of it, again, is comes down to power. People do not want to cede power.
No. Nope. Sure don't, Steiny. They sure don't. And what he said about the original eight cops had to wear YMCA man. Uniforms because the other man, cops didn't want to wear it. It's just like there's just no words. There's just no words for that. There's no words that could make that make sense. So, you know, what Killer Mike said there was just when I watched that live, and you know, I for the first time in a long time, I just teared up because you could feel what he was saying, and how can you turn a blind eye after what he had to say there? How could you?
So, tell me a little more about Killer Mike, guys, because I'd recognize the name. But I didn't know much about him.
He was a rapper out of ATL. Yeah, a rapper out of Atlanta.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, no, I was just from what because I was going to say a backstory. Like, people have come for you, the jackals, for whatever you do. So he was a rapper, Steiny, and he's progressed to own properties in Atlanta. And now he's basically a corporation, a public speaker. And the thread that I originally saw that on Friday – to where I was like, Bonte, it hit me in the cardiac muscle. I was like, whoa. And then here again, naturally, I went to the comments. And there were people from Atlanta coming down Mike's road for not out there protesting. Oh, he's become a corporation now. He he's like the man. And I'm sitting there like, this is one of the most incredible, I think Damon Bruce said it, that was the 2020 version of I Have a Dream speech. I retweeted that because, I mean, just think about what we just heard. That was powerful. It was deep. It was on time. But what you just said, Steiny, how could somebody black at that? Black folks have a problem with what he just said. And they didn't have a problem with what he just said. It was what he stood for. And the fact that he's progressing and has a platform, can speak publicly, can speak powerfully. Crabs in the bucket were trying to bring him down. And I didn't know these people that were commenting, but I put my phone down. I promise you, fellas, I dropped the phone like, hey, Martin Luther King got shot for having his heart in the right place. Malcolm X, JFK. People will find a reason if your heart's in the right place trying to do the right thing. So, Killer Mike, that was fantastic. But, Steiny, there are people that will come for you after a guy that just poetically said those words as eloquently as he just did.
No, you know, Killer Mike. Go ahead, Steiny.
Yeah, I can't just – I'll share this just because I didn't know this really either about Atlanta. You know, I went to Atlanta with my guy Dana back in October, and I've been to Atlanta before, but a long time ago. And – my buddy Dana's got friends back there, too, that he went to college with. Atlanta is unlike any other city I've ever been in. The diversity, I was told that there are more black millionaires in Atlanta than in the rest of the country combined. There are there are really nice neighborhoods that are black neighborhoods in Atlanta. It's a fascinating town. And that's just one thing I didn't know, you know, so I kind of understand internally that might be an issue because I'm sure there's still some black people getting left behind, but I mean, I was just like, if you go to Atlanta, we went to a Hawks game and there were, and 40% of the crowd was black. And there, like, many, 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 many black people are dressed professionally and they drive nice cars and they work. And it's like, you see them in a different kind of way. And like, I'm telling you, just from going to Atlanta just maybe changed me one little volume level. I don't know how, but I was like, right. Oh, look at it. Like I just experienced something that I'm sure a lot of people have never experienced.
I've heard that about Atlanta, and I've yet to go to Atlanta. That's a city on my bucket list. I've heard great things about it. Now, my best friend, Big Dog City, went to Morehouse for a semester and didn't stay down there. He told me Atlanta's just unreal. It is surreal how they unify and party and how they embrace the culture down in Atlanta. And think about what you just said, Stardy. 40% of the crowd was black. I mean, I don't go looking for it, but I don't know how many times we watch a game on television and you see the crowd, 40% black people? Definitely doesn't exist anywhere else but Atlanta. How can it? I mean, that is unreal.
Yeah.
And I went down there for 2 weeks, I promise you, fellas. And not that this was on my checklist, but I saw hospitals, predominantly black hospitals, post offices, banks. And I'm looking around like, you know, like this is black paradise in regard to you don't see that much in where I'm from in the East Bay. And I love where I'm from, but you don't see that in Oakland. Yeah, I mean, seriously, Steiny, I was blown away. Like, I could get used to this. This is not normal for me being where I'm from that you go in and see a bank being ran by, I'm serious, black folks, a hospital. Yeah. I'm like, and my boy kept, let's go here, let's go there. And I was just, it's just an uplifting feeling that a lot of people don't get experienced. And for you not even being black, Steiny, recognizing what you're seeing, it was almost like black excellence, man. That's how I felt when I got on the airplane.
Yep. That's exactly what it is, and not enough people see it. Mm. I mean, not enough people see it.
No, that's spot on. You know, another city. I'm not trying to one up you, Steiny, because I don't think any city is like this in Atlanta. But the first time I went to Philadelphia, and I was around Reading Terminal and the shopping center, the strip there, I saw a lot of black people working. I remember telling one guy, I was like, I can't believe how many black people are out here work. Like, not that black people don't work, but the type of jobs that they held in Philadelphia. And I was like, that's why Philly, in a way, it gave me an Oakland vibe. Just the downtown area, the way everything moved. It kind of gave me that Oakland feel where I was like, huh, this is pretty cool. Look at this. But no, it's nothing like Atlanta. I already know it from the stories I've heard, Steiny, and I'm glad you shared that. Next segment, I want to get into something you brought up, Steiny, in the G-Chat. And it's a phenomenal story on The Athletic. Tony Jones, our good friend from us, he's now in Salt Lake City covering the Utah Jazz. He's covered a number of teams, but he pinned a story over the weekend that was just phenomenal. And he basically said, his headline here was, I'm glad sports isn't here to serve as a deodorant for the real issue. I want to get into that because he said some things in that story that was just phenomenal here. We got time to get Cruiser in here. Should we wait till next segment? Do we got a break right now, fellas? All right, Cruiser, San Jose, come on here. Good afternoon, Cruiser. We appreciate you calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, fellas, how we doing? Thank you for letting me on yesterday. I was a mess yesterday, but got it together today. But just real quick, wanted to say I think right now is a perfect opportunity for the sports leagues to really take a look at how they approach social issues like this, or rather not their approach, but rather when it's approached to them. Because remember a while back, the NFL did this whole like domestic abuse thing where they had the players breathing heavy into the camera, you know, but the NFL was able to control that narrative. They weren't when Cap started kneeling, and you know, of course, everybody started freaking out and da da da. So even though like a lot of, you know, times like this police brutality may not affect the players directly themselves, it does affect people close to them. I mean, you know, George Floyd was a close friend of Steven Jackson, right? What if he was a close friend of LeBron James? You know, you better believe the NBA would give LeBron a platform, and if they didn't, Nike would definitely, you know, do something about it. So I think now is the time to, in the absence of games, in the absence of, you know, the business and all the other stuff that, you know, that surrounds it, really take a good hard look, because if we are going to be saying Black Lives Matter, and if we are going to be rallying around, you know, around police reform and how they police, you know, minorities and blacks and you know, other peoples in the communities, it's going to affect these players in some shape, way, or form, and they should at least be able to use their platforms, you know, as athletes, celebrities, you know, visual figures, to at least try to help move the move the needle in the right direction. You know, they should have some sort of influence, and the league should embrace that, because if they really care about their players and the money, they're going to want to show that as well, because then, you know, then the fans would be able to get behind it and support the product with full wholeheartedly. I know I would. So that's all I want to say, fellas. Thank you very much. Appreciate you.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts, Cruiser. Oh, wow. Thank you for sharing your thoughts. We'll react to that on the other side. Emmanuel Acho from ESPN, he'll join us at 1:30 p.m. We'll play a snippet of what he's had to say recently about the events that's gone on in this country, and it's all brought to you by Fremont Bank, still open to serve the community they love with full-service banking, no compromises.